But it's good to be here tonight, and the Lord was so good today. The thing about fasting is it's just something that you need to go to God and ask Him about and let Him lead you. And there are places in the Bible, and I believe in corporate fasting, where you can come together for a need in the church and fast as a group of believers. And that's very important to do. And not a lot of churches do that today. We're very good at feasting, but we're not very good at fasting, unfortunately, today. But there is so many spiritual benefits to it. And what it comes down to is just being sensitive to the Holy Ghost and letting Him convict your heart. And I love to take every fasted and prayed for this revival. I like to take at least a day and fast and pray specifically for the revival meeting. Sometimes the Lord leads me to do it a whole week or something like that. And certainly during the summertime, you can imagine having those kids coming in. We don't, it takes some prayer to really be able to supply their needs when they get there. But I am thankful for the Lord's word tonight, and I begin to pray, and I originally had the message all planned tonight, and I knew what God wanted me to preach on, but also He had Luke chapter number 11 in my mind, and if you'd turn there tonight, that's what I want to preach on. And if you remember, the very first Sunday I was here, I preached on this chapter of Scripture and the prayer of importunity. And we're going to look at the same passage tonight, and I'm going to talk much about importunity in prayer tonight. And I don't like to say it's the same message, because message is never the same. But I want to look at the same passage of Scripture. But I remember the very first time, and I love this passage on prayer. I don't think you can find a more thorough place where the Savior teaches us about prayer than Luke chapter number 11, and of course the parallel passages. But I want to challenge you tonight, and prayer changes things. And let me read you that quote again, if I can find it, from Matthew Henry. Let me find that real quick in my Bible. Let's see if I can find it, or I can just try to remember it. Well, I'll find it as sometime tonight as the message goes on. But a very good quote from him, and here it is. No, that's not it. Okay, I'll find it. He said something along the lines as you can find a man that is alive. You can as soon find a man who is living that is not breathing as you can find a Christian that is alive that's not praying. And it's the very foundation of our Christian life and walk is prayer. And yet I really feel, and I know in life, that it's one of the hardest things to keep up. It's one of the hardest things in our churches today. It's one of the least practiced things in our churches today, and our prayer meetings have really just become a joke, I feel like. And it is amazing. I've grown up, and I was giving my testimony today a little bit to the folks that had me over, and that was such a blessing this afternoon for lunch. And I've grown up around Independent Fundamental Baptist all my life. I've gotten to know some of the greatest men of God, some of the greatest prayer warriors. And I'm telling you, when I was a boy and you went to a prayer meeting, it could turn into an all-night thing. I mean, that's usually the way it was. It was, it wasn't a joke. And I remember just old men of God, saints of God that would take you. And that's how I learned to pray, is they'd take you along and they'd say, "All right, Joe, come on, you're coming with me." And you knew that when you went down and knelt on the pew with that man, that you could be there a good 2 or 3 hours. But I mean, they'd just pour their heart out to God and cry and weep, and they'd go through, and then it was amazing to come as a young man and see their prayers answered on Sunday, and see a spirit of revival in the church, and see people come and being saved for a big day or for a special Sunday. And it was you always knew as a kid, I always knew it was because of those men on Friday night just pouring their hearts out to God. And it was just amazing, and it's incredible. But now, usually prayer meetings are the Wednesday night service, and I'll tell you how they go. Usually you come in, and they pass out the prayer list, you know, and I'm not against prayer lists. I praise the Lord for them, and they're very good. But they pass out the prayer list, and I always think when I'm in these, like, I wonder how many of these people are really praying for these needs and really going through them. But they pass out the prayer list, and they go, okay, do we have any, have any of these been answered? Sometimes they don't even ask that. And, okay, we can take this one off, we can take this one off. And then they say, okay, you know, have any that we need to add tonight? And they will add some. And usually it's health or something along those lines. And rarely do you find someone say, listen, preacher, pray that God would revive our church. And that's usually not the kind of, you know, they're usually more along the physical lines. And they'll write that down. They'll write them down. And then the pastor will pray for 5 minutes and then he'll teach a Bible lesson. Well, that's not prayer meeting, in my opinion. That's not the work of prayer. See, prayer is work. It's a job. And well, let's go into the message tonight. But John R. Rice said this. He said, all my failures are prayer failures. I believe that tonight as a Christian. I believe that the times when I fail in my Christian life, I fail to do the will of God, or I fail in this area or that, it's because I'm not up with the Lord in prayer. I'm not seeking Him. And in verse 1 of Luke chapter number 11, we get the context, and it says this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Isn't it interesting? Here are the disciples, and oh, how I wish I could have been there to hear the prayers of Jesus Christ. How sweet that must have been upon their ears. And they didn't know that all along, actually by example, he was teaching them how to pray. And I can only imagine that later on that the disciples had to pray very much like Jesus prayed as they heard him talk with the Heavenly Father. And I love to study the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, and oh, how he prayed for us. And here's the amazing thing. He prayed not only for... did you know that Jesus Christ prayed for you specifically 2,000 years ago while he was here on this earth? He prayed not only for the ones that were with him then, but for all the ones that were going to come after them. And isn't that amazing that Jesus prayed for us while he was walking? I mean, you. He prayed specifically for you. If you're in the body of Christ, he prayed for you 2,000 years ago. And I just think that's amazing. But I wish I could have been there and heard the Savior pray. And Jesus Christ prayed, and his disciples said unto him, and I think this is interesting. He didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. He didn't say, Lord, teach us how to better understand the scriptures, although those are very important things. And he didn't say, Lord, how are we going to go about and get a lot of people into this new church that you've started? Or teach us a program, teach us a method, teach us this. And yet, you know, I went to Bible college for 4 years. And I didn't have one class on prayer, but I had classes on all the doctrines, I had classes on preaching, I had classes on methods, how to build a church, how to build a Sunday school, all those, but I did not have, and I love Bible college, and those were all very important and very helpful classes to me, but the disciple asked of the Savior, Lord, teach us to pray. And so it must have been a need and a burning that was on their heart, and it was something that they knew that they were lacking in themselves. And so the Lord's going to do that in this passage of Scripture tonight. He's going to teach us how to pray. And then you have there the model prayer. And basically what the model prayer is, I love to study it and break it up, and we could do that tonight, but we're not going to for the sake of time. But the model prayer is the needs. It's kind of what to pray for. There's a list of what you can pray for. Let's go ahead and read it in verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, praying for the will of God as in heaven, as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so those are needs. Those are things that you can pray for. And so it's kind of an example of things that you can pray for. And I remember taking a class, and we broke apart all these needs. And they taught a little bit about how you could pray for an hour. And we broke up all these different things, and you said you can pray for this for 20 minutes and this for 20 minutes, and we went through all the needs, and it went into 1 hour. And so I've studied that before and looked at that, but I want to focus in on this parable, and it really teaches us a lot about prayer. And of course, the main purpose of it is to remind us to be fervent in prayer, and I'm going to get to that tonight. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into this message on prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I pray that you would bless tonight, that you would help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit for just the next few moments, God. And I pray for each and every person, oh Lord, how this message could change their life tonight. Oh Father, all my failures are prayer failures. Father, tonight there's so much that could be done if we would get to praying, Father. There's so much that could be changed in our lives if we would, instead of going out and trying to manipulate or trying to get it done in our own flesh and our own mind, if we would turn to you in complete faith and trust, God, and pray and ask you and let you deal with the situation and let you help us, Father. Oh, please, tonight, I pray that this would sink in, God. It could bring revival to someone tonight. It could bring revival to a family. It could bring revival to Spokane Baptist Church. And so I pray that you would help me to preach for just the next few moments, and that you might be glorified, Father. And we will give you certainly the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, you have to remember, I've been quoting this week, but when you pray, you obtain the help of God. When you pray, you obtain God's help. And that's what prayer is supposed to be. God, when He saved us, He did not just kick us to the wolves and say, okay, good luck with this. He said, I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my help. And the way we obtain that help is sometimes we do obtain it. Just God helps us, and I praise the Lord for those times. God just blesses. The Bible says in Psalms that God daily loadeth us with benefits. And so every day He gives me things that I did not pray for. But He gave us prayer to focus in on specific situations and to focus in on specific times in our life and things and happenings in our lives, that we may focus in on them and no longer stand in our own strength and in our own might and our own merit and in our own flesh, but we could stand in the strength and the might of God. And that's what prayer is. In verse 9, look at that with me tonight. It says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And, you know, a lot of people love to quote these verses concerning prayer, and I do too. And that is prayer, and I love the prayer devotion by John R. Rice called Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. It's a great devotional, one of the very first ones I read when I was called into evangelism. I read that, and I've also have the tape where he preaches on it, and boy, it's a convicting message. And he submits to Christians that true prayer is both asking and receiving from the Lord. If you're not both asking and receiving, you're not doing the work of prayer. The job is halfway done when you just mutter out some words and never think again, did God answer my prayer? Never think again, did God answer this? And I do encourage you tonight to keep a prayer journal, to keep a book where you write your prayers down and write what you're praying for down and open it up every day and read it, or keep the church prayer list and keep keep looking at it and keep thinking about it and asking God for these things. But keep a prayer journal. Keep up with your prayers. But the true work of prayer is both asking and receiving. But Jesus puts this parable in here, I believe, right before that verse for a reason. There are some stipulations to prayer. There is some protocol. We have the model prayer. Now remember the context all the way down through until Jesus goes and casts out a devil in verse 14. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. That's what the reason the first half of the chapter, part of the chapter, all the way down through verse 13 is there. It's Jesus teaching his disciples some things on prayer. Of course, the greatest lesson I believe that they learned was just simply being alongside the Savior as he prayed. And listen, adults in here today, you need to teach your children how to pray. One of the saddest things today is that we have youth coming up that do not know how to pray, that have, the only, of course, they know how to give a good table blessing, but that's about it. But they don't know how to go to God themselves and pray and seek His face and get the help when they need it. And so many times they turn to the world in their time of help. They turn to the world in their time of trial, and they run off and they leave the church and they leave Jesus Christ because their parents didn't teach them how to pray. Listen, you need to bring your kids up alongside you and pray with them. You need to bring your kids up alongside and teach them how to pray through example. But he puts this parable in here, and I want to look at it tonight for just the next few moments. And verse 5, and hopefully you're familiar with this parable. Some of you may not be tonight. Some of you may remember the last time that I preached on it. But look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. The story is that this man came in the middle of the night, this parable, and a parable simply Jesus trying to teach us heavenly wisdom down on man's level, on an earthly level. And so he's going to try and help us with this fact. And I really, prayer is one of those things. It's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to understand why God would want to answer my prayers at all. It is. And yet I know that He commands it, and that He commands that we pray. He commands, and I'll show you the heart of prayer found in this passage of Scripture. So this man has a friend come over, and the man has to feed him. It's commanded in Jewish law that when someone comes over to your house, that you need to be hospitable, that you need to set something before them to eat. And so this man, that night, his friend came, and he knew, according to the law, that he needed to fulfill this. He needed to fulfill the law and do something for this. And this brings me to my first point tonight. In order to pray, you have to have two things. There are two things that you cannot pray without. Number one, you have to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And the Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. You see, when a Christian prays, he doesn't come to God on his own, in his own name, or in his own merit, or in his own of good things that he could do, and say, "Hey God, how you doing today?" And this is, I don't come to God and say, "This is Joseph Knuff, and I'm so glad that I'm a good person because now I can come and talk with God." And no, that's not. I come to God, and a Christian prays, and they come to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the merit, through the righteousness that the Bible says was literally imputed to their account, was put on them. And when God looks at a sinner like Josh, and he looks at him, he doesn't see Josh's good works, or the Bible says that our works are as filthy rags. He doesn't see those filthy rags. He sees His Son. He sees His Son's righteousness and His Son's perfectness, and He sees that. And so when a Christian, says, come boldly before the throne. And I believe, you know, I always try to come humbly before God, but the Bible says that we're to come boldly because we're coming in the name of Jesus Christ. So you have to be saved. And I hope that you have that settled tonight in your heart. It's the most important decision you can make. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And at one time I was lost in my sins. And every person in here, every Christian in here, at one time was lost in their sins and on their way to a devil's hell. But they accepted that gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love that verse because it gives both the bad news and the good news in all of it. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, you have to be saved. You have to be saved in order to have a prayer life. I'm talking about a life where you achieve verse 9, where it says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. That's what we're talking about tonight. And that's, we have to keep the Bible in context though. And Jesus is teaching us how to both ask and receive from Him. So you have to be saved. Number two, you have to have a need. You have to have a need. This man has a need this night, and he needs three loaves of bread. He has a need, and you know, honestly, Christian, tonight, do you know the number one reason I believe we stop praying is we don't have any needs today. Now, I know that we have the trials, and sicknesses come into the church, and things happen, and but then we pray, don't we, Pastor? Then people don't want your counsel until something bad goes on. Then they want your counsel, right? And that's the way it is. And then when everything's good, they turn their back and go the other way, don't they? It's tough being a pastor. Pray for your pastor. But, I believe this. I don't believe we're in the Laodicean church age. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I know some men that teach on that. Some good men. But, I believe definitely that today there are many churches that fit the Laodicean church. And there are many Christians that you meet in those churches that fit the Laodicean Christian. And one of their attributes, if you can remember, is that they were in want and need of nothing. And yet, in that Jesus said, they were blind, they were blind and naked, but knew it not. Isn't that something? That they were blind and how can you be blind and naked? I mean, if I went outside I think I would know if I was blind or naked. I mean, that's just, those are two things that you're going to know, you know, but these people didn't. And I have to submit to you that they had wealth, that they were wealthy, that they had clothing, that they had, you know, all the luxuries, much like we have here in America. And that was a real church that John was writing to around at the time, the church of Laodicea. But I have to submit to you that it was talking about the inside, the spiritual. They were spiritually blind and naked, but knew it not. And so I believe one of the great reasons we've stopped praying is we think we don't need anything. Or we only pray, boy, when it hits home, then we pray, don't we? When it's us on the hospital bed, that's when we pray. Or when it's our child in the ER, that's when we pray. But listen, we are a very needy people. Christian, I wish tonight just that we could see as God sees. And many times as I travel, I'll drive down the streets, and I was driving down the streets of Spokane Valley tonight, and I saw a man by not too far from my hotel room, and I saw him standing out there on the corner, and I thought, oh boy, there's somebody that probably will end up dying and going to hell in their sins. And I saw someone drive by, and I thought, boy, there's another one. And if we could only see how God sees, I believe that we don't have a burden for anything. Listen, we have a great need. If you could only see Spokane Baptist Church as God sees it, oh, I'll bet you'd pray. I'll bet you'd pray. Let God give you a need. Let Him give you a burden. maybe a burden for revival for the church, or a burden to see this place filled up and then maybe moving on and looking for another building or something along those lines. And pastor's thinking, oh great, we don't want to go. But anyways, thinking of, you know, going on to the next thing and maybe seeing people saved and the families of the church. But listen, we do have a great need tonight. We have a great need. My greatest need tonight is that of a spiritual. Listen, I need to be fed the Word of God. I need to be fed. You know what my number one actual prayer is for my own life? I'm not trying to brag tonight, but this is just the most important thing to me on the face of this planet. This is it tonight. And you say, well, you don't have a wife yet. Shouldn't that be the most important thing to you? And it is very important to find the right wife, but it's not the most important thing to me tonight. And you know what my greatest need is? To be used of God. That's my biggest prayer. That's my number one's heart desire. And I tell the Lord, God, please take not your hand off me. I don't want to experience that in my life. Lord, take not your hand, but use me, God. Use me in your hands. I'm an open, I'm a free and willing vessel, God. Continue to use me. That's my greatest need tonight. But my greatest need many times is that of a spiritual. In verse 6, we find out exactly who the need was for. And here we're going to get into the heart of prayer. For a friend of mine, in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This is the heart of prayer. You see, prayer was never meant to be, God, give me a car. Boom, falls out of the sky. You know, that. But that's what many people think. Many people, when they read verse 9, where it says, you ask and it shall be given you, that's exactly where their mind is at. And it's understandable. And they compare God just to this big spiritual slot machine. And you pull down on that thing and boy, you win the jackpot or something. And that's what many preachers preach to. God wants to bless you, and He wants to give you the house, and He wants to give you this and that. And they talk about all these physical, monetary blessings. But listen, and we have to keep the Bible in context. And I believe Jesus shared this parable right before He said, ask and you shall receive. But we find out that this man's need, these three loaves of bread, were for somebody else. Here is the heart of prayer. This is the heart of prayer, that we would come to God. God, I need. Who's it for? It's for my friend. I need to use it for him. Me, so that I can give him. That's the heart of prayer, God, for me, for them. You see, we do need finances. We do need to be blessed financially, and we need to have a good job and things like that. But though that job and those finances should be, we need those, and we should obtain those, and certainly pray for those things so that we can turn around and use them for others, for missionaries and for foreign missions, so that people can be saved all around the world. For our church, so that we can see your church go onward and forward and progress, and certainly it has needs, and so you can pay your pastor, and so maybe in the future you can hire on some more staff members and things along those lines. But we have needs, but our needs should be consumed. We should be thinking constantly about, God, I need so that I can help others. That's the heart of prayer. This man, he was going to go and get these loaves. They were going to become his, but they were his. He could do with them whatever he wanted, but then he was going to turn around and use them for someone else. And do you know why I believe so many Christians, they don't really get answers to prayer? I believe it's just our selfish living. God could bless you, but why should he when he can go and find somebody else that's going to serve him? We can go and find somebody else that's going to turn around and use the things that He gives them for His honor and His glory and for the sake of others. See, sometimes I believe we're just living too selfishly. But that's the heart of prayer. The heart of prayer. The reason God, I believe, made prayer and made it to where man could come and obtain His help, I go to God and I obtain His help, and I have to have God's help. I cannot stay in the ministry. I cannot continue to do what I do without the Lord's help. I'll tell you that right now, tonight, church. I won't be back next year, I won't be in the ministry long if I don't God and get His help. There's just too much going on. There's too much of Satan and things like that. But I have to go and get the Lord's help so that I can continue to minister to others. And so many times, oh, I need it. But it can't be for Joseph Knuth's name. It can't be for my furtherance. It can't be so that, boy, people think I'm something and they really think I'm this great preacher and all this. It can't be for that. It has to be for them. It has to be with the pure motives. God, please, I have to have. And so many times I'll be in a revival, just like tonight, or just like this week. Boy, I had to go to God time and time again and say, God, I don't feel good tonight. God, I can't preach tonight. But God, I need Your strength. I need Your help. I need Your message tonight. God, not for my sake, so that they won't be, so they won't be mad at me and say, boy, he really laid an egg tonight or anything like that. I can't care about that. I have to say, God, not for my sake, for their sake, God, I need tonight for them. For Your sake and for their sake. That's the heart of prayer tonight, Christian. And that's what God is looking for. The church was meant to pray so that they could turn around and fulfill the needs of the community around them. Not only physically, and that's many times what we think about is, passing out bread and different things like that. But spiritually, we have to have our needs fulfilled. Oh, we have a great spiritual need. We have to see, I need revival so many times. See, I have to be fed. I have to grow spiritually. I have to mature spiritually. Not so that, boy, maybe one day they'll write books about me and say he was some great spiritual giant. Not for that. Not for honor. Not for glory. But, God chose the foolishness of preaching. In the world's eyes, boy, pastor, what we do is pretty foolish, isn't it? They think we're just crazy and nuts, but God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. But not for any of that sake, but for others, for God's glory. That's the heart of prayer. That's why we pray. We pray for others. Oh, Christian, let's go on in the story tonight. And maybe this is redundant to you tonight, but I need this, and I know you need this tonight. And look at this in verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So this man knocks on the door, and the first answer he gets is, no, go away, we're already in bed. And here is where I believe we fail to get from asking, both asking and receiving from the Lord. It's almost like we build a house halfway and forget to put the roof on. We forget to finish the job, and prayer is a job. Prayer is work, and we need to treat it like that. And here's where I believe we fail. We don't get an answer, or maybe it looks like all the doors are shutting or something along those lines, and we like to say this. We like to blame it on God. We like to say, well, it must not have been the Lord's will. I think we should watch out when we say that. Especially if we're praying that someone be saved. Are you telling me that God doesn't want that person saved? Especially when we're praying for a revival meeting. We're in the middle of a revival meeting and it doesn't look like maybe revival's going to happen. People aren't getting right. And us preachers like to get through and say, well, must not have been the right timing for my people or blah, 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 blah. No, that shouldn't be our response. And that's where we fail. We'll be praying for something and it looks like the doors are shut. And it looks like, and this door indeed was shut that night. In fact, the door was shut and his children are with him in bed. The answer is no, go away. He said, I cannot rise and give thee. He said, well, maybe in 5 minutes he didn't say, maybe in 5 minutes I'll rise and give. No, he said no. And remember, Jesus is teaching us how to pray tonight. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. So the answer was no. Go away. And I believe that's where we fail. So many times we're willing to give up too easily. Look at verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Did you catch that? The prayer was answered. We just saw a situation go from no to the need is fulfilled. Answers to prayer. And it was because of the man's importunity, and it has to do with persistence, but the man, he stood there and he knocked and he asked and he asked. He said, listen, you might as well get up. You might as well answer the door because I'm not going anywhere until the need is fulfilled. I don't know why Jesus said we are supposed to pray like this, but I know he said we are to be persistent. To keep coming back and coming back until we can say, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall, until we can say, listen, I went to the Lord and I had this need and my neighbor needed to be saved and I kept praying for my neighbor and asking God, save my neighbor, help them to come and help me, Lord, to witness to them, or I had a loved one that was sick, or I had, we were in this revival meeting and we kept praying and praying and asking and God answered. That's when we can come and say, listen, the need was met. Praise the Lord. I was preaching over here in Post Falls. It's not too far away, I guess, only a few miles. And I preached on prayer that night. And in all my travels, you know, I haven't met really too many prayer warriors. People I know that, listen, this person can get a hold of God. Isn't it funny that the Queen of England said that she feared all the armies of the world and all the soldiers and all that. She feared them less than she did the prayers of John Knox, the great preacher. I mean, that's incredible. There are just, and there are people that are like that, that can get a hold of God. And I want, guess what? I want to be one of those people. Lord, for answered prayer. And we need to decide tonight to be one of those people. To be able to come back. To be to do the work behind the scenes. So you don't get much credit for being a prayer warrior. it's behind the scenes. And nobody says, boy, you really did a good job tonight. You spent 8 hours in prayer. You spent 5 hours in prayer. Nobody sees it. You're in the background. You're battling in the background. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I heard an old preacher say, yeah, that's the problem. We wrestle not. Nobody's wrestling today. Nobody's battling today. And it's a battle. It's a warfare. And it's a battle and warfare that takes place behind closed doors or up on a mountain or by a stream somewhere. But you need to find a place to pray. I never have the same place because I'm always traveling. But when I'm home, I've been up here on Mount Spokane. That's a beautiful place to pray. And I didn't get to get up there this week because of my health. And boy, every time I go outside, I start coughing like crazy. But so I didn't want to do that. But back home, you can go behind my house. There's a big canyon, and you can walk through. In about 20 minutes, you'll come up to a mesa. And you can go and you can sit out on these cliffs and just look for miles and miles. And it's just beautiful. And you can yell and you can shout and you can pray. And you can lift up your voice and you can even sing songs up there. And guess what? Nobody's going to hear you. And so it's a wonderful place to pray. But I met this lady over in Post Falls in a church I was preaching at over there. And I met a lady that I'm convinced she's a prayer warrior. She gave me her card, and she's about 76 years of age, and she handed me her card, and she said, listen, if you ever have a need, give me a call, and I'll pray for it. She said, I pray for preachers all across the country, and she named some of them for me, and very well-known preachers. She said, when they have a problem, they call me, and I put it on my prayer list. She said, my prayer list takes me 3 hours to get through. It's sitting on my bed as we speak. And she said, I go through it every day. And I pray, and I'm a firm believer, and I've seen, and then I call them, and I ask them to call me back as soon as it's answered, and I pray for it, and I pray for it, and pray for it, and then I just get such a joy when I get to take that off my prayer list, and that means the need was met, and it was answered. She said, there's nothing like it. All this happened because I know you didn't just wake up one day and said, okay, I'm going to start praying for 3, 4, 5 hours a day. And she said, this is how it started. She said, I had two daughters and we raised them in church. She said, they both had equal opportunity. Both grew up in Sunday school class, Christian school, the works, everything a young person could have. We gave it to my two daughters. She said, one daughter was saved at an early age, baptized, just picture perfect, went to Christian school and graduated Bible college, met a missionary, and they fell in love, and they're now serving, and got married, and now serving on a foreign mission field. Just picture perfect. I'm so thrilled to death, and I love my daughter that's serving the Lord. She said, the other daughter, it was strange. We'd give her the gospel, nothing. She hated Christian school. She was always rebellious, always had an attitude. She said she broke my heart the day she was 20. She drove out of our driveway with her car packed full of her stuff. And she said, I got down on my knees, and I knew my daughter wasn't saved. I got down on my knees in the gravel and I said, Lord, save my daughter. She said, I prayed there for about an hour, and I said, God, with your help, every day I'm going to come before you and beg you and ask you, God, save my daughter. Save my daughter. And she said, I would pray every day, and I'd find out she was moving to a town, and I would call the preacher, and I'd say, preacher, go and visit my daughter. I want to see her saved, and I want to see her saved so bad. And the preacher would go, and she'd slam the door in his face, or she would, say, I'm not ready. And the preacher would call me back and say, no, nothing happened. She said, I would just beg God, oh, save my little girl. Save my daughter. She said, I just kept coming back and knocking and asking. She said, my daughter would come at Thanksgiving time, and she would come at Christmas. And I would always look for that right moment to try to sneak the gospel in or talk to her about Jesus Christ. Finally, she said, Mom, if you tell me about Jesus Christ one more time, I'm never coming back to your house again. And she said, she broke my heart for the second time. What else to do? I went and I jumped and I laid down on my bed and I wept and I didn't even see my daughter again that trip. And I knocked and I said, God, save my daughter. Please save my daughter. Help. And she said, I would go through scenarios, someone coming and showing her the gospel, and or a track or something along those lines. She said, but nothing happened. She said, finally, after 20 years of praying every day, God, save my daughter. Please save my daughter. She said, my daughter came in. She'd been through a divorce and had her kids and had made just a terrible wreck of her life at this time. And she said, my daughter came in and threw her arms around me and said, Mom, would you tell me how to be saved? She said, and I got to lead my 40-year-old daughter to Jesus Christ. And my 40-year-old daughter got saved. Are there any Christians that can prevail in prayer anymore? Are there any Christians that will keep coming back and be persistent and keep knocking and say, God, for me, for them. God, Spokane. Spokane Valley, God, it needs you so bad. Oh, if we could only see how God sees, we would pray, Christian, we would pray. A pastor once said that if he could take 5 preacher boys and just dangle them over the flames of hell, they would be the greatest preachers the world has ever seen. If we could only get a burden for lost souls and pray and pray and pray and then go out and expect and say, is God going to answer my prayer today? And have that faith that goes along with prayer. This man was out at the door. He was out in faith, expecting it to happen. Could we pray and pray and pray and then say, maybe I'm going to lead someone to the Lord at work today. Load up on tracks. Hand them out. Listen, there's a pastor in Arizona that really puts me to shame. When we go into a restaurant, every person in that restaurant has to have a track before he'll sit down to eat. And so I got to the place where I said, hey, give me some of those. And I passed them out with him and I said, I'm hungry and I want to help you. I want to help you hurry up this before you can sit down and we can eat. But we need a burden for souls. We need a burden for lost people. May we see as God sees. I'm really convicted about this tonight, Christian, that we could have revival. You could have revival here at Spokane Baptist Church. I'm convinced of it. You could have just a spirit of revival where you see just victory after victory and people saved and see this place growing and moving and on fire for God. But I believe it's the reason we're not having it is our lack of prayer. I really do. It's our lack of prayer. It's our lack of having the Lord's help. We try to do it in our flesh, and we try to do it ourselves, but we need God's help. We need His help. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, and I pray, Father, that folks would make the decision tonight to be a prayer warrior for Spokane Baptist Church. To be a prayer warrior for their pastor. Oh, how Satan hates their pastor. Wants to see him out of here. Wants to see and wants to harm him and harm his wife and harm his family, God. Oh, that the people of this church would come and pray for their pastor. Lord, and then the lost and dying souls all around us. Father, we have You. We have Your help. Lord, would we learn, I pray, to tap into Your help. Tap into Your power, God. Would we learn, I pray, to be able to come and pray and seek Your face and get Your help and get answers to prayer. I pray that we would decide tonight just to be prayer warriors and to stick after it for this church and for the needs. Oh, I read the prayer list and how there are so many needs, God, but how many more do we have? Spiritual needs. Oh, help us tonight, God. I pray maybe some would come and pray, God, revive me. Maybe some would come and pray and say, Lord, my Bible reading has been dry. My prayer life has been dry. Father, I pray that You'd flood it tonight, that You'd make it fresh, that You would renew it. I would pray that, Lord, some would come tonight and just say, here I am, Lord, it's been a while, but I want to rekindle my prayer life. Oh, Father, bless now as we give the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.